through the gloom, point me to the skies. Heaven's morning breaks and earth's vain shadows flee. Life, death, O Lord, abide with me. For some of you here, this is hitting way, way, way too close to home. You've lost a son or daughter, mom or dad, sibling, perhaps just within the last few days. I'll be honest, thinking about this message for the last couple of weeks has regularly brought tears to my eyes as well. Because the sad truth is that as much as we love our families, death is going to separate our family churches. And yet, I so much appreciate what Dee said about how important the use of God's word was in their family. What a marvelous example of the family church, that daily devotions, Christian education, regular Bible study and worship, that was just a part of their lives. And so Dee and her husband Dan could grieve in hope and yet also have this joy to know that Matthew was safe with his Savior. That's what we want to focus on today. This is the ultimate goal of every church. Every Christian church has this goal, that the members of that family of God would all have this confidence that not even death can separate us from the love of God in Christ. That's true of this congregation. This is our prayer, but it is also true of your families, the family churches that God has created among us. And so I'd like to begin just by remembering the hope that you and I have as members of the family of God. I appreciate this marvelous promise that Jesus gave to Martha at the death of her brother Lazarus. Martha said, "Jesus, if you'd just been here, my brother wouldn't have died." And Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die." And then he went on to raise Lazarus from the grave. And then just a couple of months later, he raised himself from the grave to prove that it is true, that he is the resurrection and the life, and not even death can separate those who believe in him from him. Just put Matt's name into that verse. Jesus promised Matt, "I am the resurrection and the life. Matt, who believed in me, lives, even though he died." Isn't that a marvelous promise? Matt lives. Even though physically he died, he lives, because Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And Matt lives and believes in Jesus and has never died. That's our hope, even in the face of death, that the body is dead, but we continue to live with our Savior. And even that body that we see in the coffin, that body that we would just love to wrap our arms around, and I'll be honest, this is where tears came to my mind, because every time I've hugged my wife for the last couple of weeks, every time I've hugged my kids and my grandkids, I've thought, What if this is the last time I get to put my arms around them and hug them? What if the next time I see them is in a coffin? And I so much appreciate the promise that Jesus spoke to us through the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 3. He wrote to the Christians there, our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Just think about it. On the day of Jesus' resurrection, as he came out of the grave, Mary wrapped her arms around Jesus' feet and didn't want to let him go. Later that night in the upper room, Jesus appears to the apostles and says, you know, touch me and see, I'm not a ghost. Wrap your arms around me and hold me close. The bodies that we place into the grave are going to rise victorious from that grave, glorious bodies, just like Jesus' glorious body on Easter. You see, we can look forward to a day when we'll wrap our arms around our loved ones who have fallen asleep in Christ, body and soul, the day of Jesus' resurrection, or the day of the resurrection of all flesh. And that's what gives us hope, even when it seems like God is being unfair. When Matt died, how many of us didn't think it was too soon, it wasn't his time? And all of us have certainly experienced that in some way, a friend, a family member who has died way before their time. And that's why I so much appreciate the words of our Old Testament lesson, that we will not bear children doomed to misfortune in the new heavens, in the new earth. All the questions that come into our minds right now, oh, it was too soon. God, didn't you hear? They'll all be answered, because then we'll see that 100 years, it's like nothing at all. You know, we're going to be praying for one of our sisters in Christ who is celebrating her 100th birthday. In the new heavens and new earth, we'll look at that and go, that's nothing at all, because we're living with Christ forever. A sister in Christ passed away just yesterday, 98 years old, and we'll look back and go, that 98 years was like that. That's what we can look forward to in the new heavens and new earth, where we get to go back and enjoy what Adam and Eve lost, where the wolf and the lamb will lie down together. It is so hard to see people who have died before their time, and that's true of all of us. God didn't want any of us to die. There's going to be a time when Jesus comes back and we see this new heaven and new earth, and none of us will die before our time. And we will look forward to this family reunion. I love that picture of what heaven is like. These are the words that were read at both my mom's funeral and my dad's funeral. They're recorded in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, where the Apostle Paul is writing to the Christians there in Thessalonia who have lost loved ones, and they're concerned that somehow they've died before Jesus came back, and somehow they're going to be missing out on something. And so the Apostle Paul reassures them. He writes, for the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. When Jesus comes back, the first thing that's going to happen is that cemetery. We'll see why it's called a cemetery. It's a place of sleep, because they are going to rise victorious from those graves. After that, we were still alive and are our left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Isn't this a beautiful picture? That death separates those, separates us from those that we love now, but we're looking forward to a true family reunion where we will be able to hug each other and live with each other for eternity. And so Paul's words at the end of this chapter is certainly ultimately our words as members of this family of God and members of our smaller family churches. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. This is what our life is all about. And so I'd just like to wrap up this whole message series, The Family Church, just by quickly reviewing what we've covered over the last couple of weeks, or last couple of months. That we have all been called. Certainly, moms and dads, you have the call to be the pastor, the spiritual shepherd, the first pastor of the children within your family. But every one of us has people that are looking up to us in some way. And we have a call to be the spiritual shepherds to those who are looking up to us. Whether we are adults or even children, people are looking to us. And I think of the words that are read every time a pastor is installed or ordained. The Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy, "Preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season." Whether it feels easy to share God's word in your family, in your circle of friends, or out of season, if it's not an easy time, be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, encourage with great patience and careful instruction. Keep your head in all situations. Sometimes it's just going to be overwhelming to us. But you remember, whose church is it? Your family, whose family church is it? It is the Lord's. Keep your head, trust that you have a God who is in control. Keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. This is our call. Who is up to this call? And so we remember the pastor's power. It doesn't lie within us, but it lies within the God who raised Jesus from the dead and who says that same power that he used to raise Jesus from the dead is working in us. The very fact that you and I believe that Jesus rose from the dead is evidence of that incredible power working in us. Your faith is a product of his powerful word working in us to bring you to believe what is impossible, that the dead rise. And that power is at work within you. He has made you to be a masterpiece, a creation to do his will. And what do we want to share with those in our family of God? It's not rules and laws, it's love. That the people who are looking towards us see that we are striving to know the height and the depth and the breadth of the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. That we claim that love for ourselves and that they see that love is mirrored in us towards them. And we do that by the pastor's submission. Remember Aaron Miller when he talked in that video about how he loved to submit, to serve. That's how we show that love, as we say, it's not about us. How can I help you? And that we smell like pastors. You know, that whole idea of the rock spun, the random acts of worship kindness. I'm already starting to get a few stories back. It's great to see how the sacrificial love of the Savior is like an aroma that is coming out from you to the people around you. And then let's make our family churches an armor, where we put on the full armor of God and we help those around us put on that armor. Because our goal is to save ourselves and our hearers. This is the verse that we really started with 2 months ago. Why don't you read it along with me? Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourselves and your hearers. This is the goal. That our family churches never end. That death separates us from our families now. But that someday we will see that we are part of this greater, larger family of God. And that we've been victorious over death through Christ. That was the confidence of a man, Horatio Spafford, who wrote a hymn called Be Still My Soul. Maybe you know that story. He lived in Chicago with his family. He sent his family ahead on an ocean liner on a vacation to Europe. He couldn't travel with them because of some business crisis. And on the way over, the ship sank, and all of his children were lost. And he wrote this hymn. I'd like to close kind of where we started. But this is a day of sadness as we think about those that we have lost. How hard it is to deal with the pain of death and this temporary separation. But that we have this confidence and joy that we will be together again. So I'd ask you to please stand. And join with me in singing the last verse of Be Still, My Soul.